The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is from the style section, and the title is Picture Perfect. Batwoman's new star, Javicia Leslie, on being the representation of beauty she's always admired. Javicia Leslie has demystified the routine that keeps her skin radiant and clear, despite constant makeup and lights. I had to go back to the basics because my skin hadn't been acting right after I moved to Vancouver to film the series, she says. So now I'm using Dr. Bronner's Baby Unscented Pure Castile Liquid Soap to wash my face. Leslie believes that in 2021, we have to get back to self-love. That's why it was important to show Batwoman not just as a black woman in complexion, but also as a black woman in her entirety, she says. Growing up, actress Leslie admired stars like Nia Long and Garceli Bouvet, and she says it's brown-skinned women like Long and Bouvet who helped to shape her overall perceptions of beauty. I was raised in an Upper Marlboro, Maryland, a predominantly black town, so all I'd ever seen as beautiful was represented by those who looked like me, she recalls. I remember growing up and watching my mom do her makeup and thinking she was the most beautiful woman. To me, beauty was a fresh wrap, dark skin, and big brown eyes. Even now, when I think of beauty, I reflect on my upbringing. The 33-year-old understands, however, that not everyone is as fortunate as she was to see constant representation. That's why the new leading lady in season 2 of the CW series Batwoman, airing January 17th, doesn't take her responsibilities lightly. I can preach how beautiful black is until my face turns blue, she says. I can talk about how beautiful our skin is, how beautiful our hair texture is, and how beautiful our bodies are naturally, says Leslie. But if no one can hear me, it doesn't matter. Being able to have this platform and being able to be the example for others allows my voice to be heard on a broader scale. I feel blessed to be in this position. And while Leslie says the beauty routines of Batwoman and her real life self couldn't be more different, she admires the character she plays on the small screen. Just as Batwoman is goals to Ryan Wilder on screen, she's goals to me too. She is everything that someone would want to be, from her head straight down to her toes, and that's what television needs. The next article is titled, Saweetie is marching to the beat of her own brand. The queen of quarantine content is taking the right steps into the new year. For a few years now, Saweetie has been part of a group of rising artists with hit after hit. The Bay Area rappers Tap In turned up the heat all summer and is getting us through winter. Since the debut of her Icy Girl 3 years ago, Saweetie's scored 100 million streams thanks to the RIAA Platinum hit. Her TikTok presence helped boost Tap In to the top 10 on Billboard's Hot R&B / Hip Hop Songs chart. She has done all this without a debut album. I pride myself on quality, she says. My team and I are working really hard to deliver. With this debut album, Pretty B Music, set to arrive this year, Saweetie is grabbing hold of her evolving brand and loyal fans. When scrolling through social media feed for Icy Girl, you can see the full scope of her personality, including skits, outfits of the day, and beauty. If that's not enough, check out her Icy University vlog on YouTube. I really want to dominate and conquer through fashion, through music, through acting. She says, days after filming her latest music video, she spoke about the importance of education, her brilliant career, and what's in store for 2021. Essence asked the question, how have you been holding up in the pandemic? She answered, I'm managing. Ironically, in quarantine, I've been working a lot more to fulfill all the requests that get sent to me. But instead of traveling, I can work from home. I love being busy, and I am working toward a goal, so I can't complain. Essence, you graduated from the University of Southern California, and you really pushed the value of education. Do you attribute some of your innovative branding to what you learned while pursuing your communications degree? Definitely. I feel like USC breeds the best and either makes or breaks you. There were plenty of times when I wanted to drop out of school because it was a little too much, but I'm glad I didn't. USC taught me critical thinking and how to break out of the box that we tend to put ourselves in. It definitely gave me the motivation and ambition to just go out there and conquer. You have to be tough. You have to be smart. Essence asked, you released your hit song, Icy Girl, in 2017. We often see artists putting out an album soon after there is a hit single. What made you want to pace yourself before you release Pretty B Music? She said, if I am speaking candidly about that, I don't think I got the best start in music. I had a lot of catching up to do. A lot of my mistakes were made publicly and became viral moments. That hurt my brand and hurt my image as a credible rapper. I definitely felt like after my type, I needed a break. Not a break to rest, but to strategize and get back to the drawing board. I have new management now, which I'm so proud and excited to have. I feel like I'm patching up a lot of things. Everything that I'm putting out now is with intention. I know what I am doing. Essence, how has your style evolved since you started in the music industry? She responded, I definitely feel like my style has always been there. I just have more money and more opportunity to do what I always wanted to do as a little girl. For me, it is so good to be playing dress up in a field that I love so much. Music has allowed me to become a fashion girl, but I have always been interested in expanding beyond the expected, going past how people expect me to dress, and just learning. I have a vintage YSL book. I have a Chanel book, and I go through their archives. Fashion is exciting. It's like a Pandora's box. The more you study it, the more you are able to take from different areas and make it your own. How did the Bay Area influence your look? One thing that I will say about a Bay Area girl is that we're very innovative. We are always trying to do what nobody else has done. I grew up watching my aunties and my mom and other women who were around me constantly recreate themselves. Nothing that I'm doing is new. If you knew me in high school, you would be like, oh, she is just doing what she always wanted to do, but now she's got the money to do it. It's definitely a style sense that's always been there, but an enhanced version. Essence asks one last question. What do you have planned for this year? She answered, I have a merch team. I have a brand team. I have a fashion team. I have help with all these things that I used to do on my own or with a small group of people I trusted. I see myself as a young mogul. When you're able to conquer different areas of your life and become an expert in those areas, it creates a great brand. Hopefully through this, little black and brown girls will see that they can do it too. Because yes, I love getting money. Yes, I love dressing up. But there were different women I looked up to and was like, wow, because they did it, I can too. If I'm able to inspire somebody, then I feel like my job is done. The next article is from the section called Game Changer. Audie Samuel is fashion's best kept secret. Hollywood's go-to stylist shares her vision behind creating unforgettable celebrity looks. When it comes to the world of celebrity fashion, stylists are often joined at the hip to their famous muses, in part because of the hectic schedule celebrities keep and the many outfits their commitments require. Tasked with creating ensembles for all occasions, from press events to award shows, a stylist's job is never done. Enter Audie Samuel, who has captivated Hollywood with her brilliant palettes and keen editorial eye, which she has honed from her start at Teen Vogue. "I am of Nigerian descent," she says, explaining her vibrant aesthetic. "So I always try to keep it colorful and creative." Samuel has dressed the best of Black Hollywood, including Michael B. Jordan, Kofi, and Letitia Wright. As she's known for such exuberant style moments, Essence asks her to style some of our most iconic shoots and covers. Here, she gives us the inside scoop on a few of her memorable looks. Khalid's Galactic Surprise. This was a fun one. Khalid was a new client, and we wanted to create a bold statement for this phase of his music career. I saw this Marcello Burlon suit and it just screamed Khalid's energy. It has an electric but subtle feel. 2. Kofi. Kofi debut in the City of Lights. When he wore this Tom Brown look, it was his first time in Paris. I wanted to connect Kofi with designers who are a part of the culture and arts like he is. The thing I like about Kofi is his mind. He is so uniquely talented, from directing to acting to all his various initiatives. I wanted to match him to designers who think the same way. This look just screams Paris. This was a way of saying, what does it mean to elevate streetwear? No one would look at Tom Brown and think streetwear, but this look has that vibe. Letitia Wright's Maud moment. She's all about a power suit, but I want her to remain youthful in spirit because she is our princess. We always find creative ways to wear a suit. This option was playful and matched my aesthetic for her. Even though Letitia's a minimalist and is a bit more conservative than me, I like to make sure we elevate her look with textures. Justine Sykes pillow dress. We always joke and say, no sleep. So for a Billboard Woman in Music event, we decided to go with a pillow concept. Justine's just a beautiful black chocolate skinned girl. And what I loved about this look was that it felt like a pun, a fun, artistic way of nodding to our inside joke. I just wanted to be playful. Michael B. Jordan's sleek suit. This was for his Vanity Fair Oscar party look. Berluti flew from Paris to LA and brought this suit fresh off the runway. I liked the print and texture. It felt like a cloud. It was love at first sight. The next article is from the section Newsmaker. The title is I Am Not My Hair. Tarsha Parker is breaking barriers for new anchors. If you turn on WFAA/ABC in Dallas, Texas, on weekday mornings, you'll find traffic reporter and anchor Tarsha Parker doing what she loves most, sharing stories that impact lives. The Texas A&M grad initially chose an entomology major with the goal of becoming a forensic psychologist. But when her grades started slipping, she knew she needed to pivot. What am I good at? She wondered at the time. What do I like to do? That assessment took her back to a junior high school teacher who had recognized her for public speaking. "She thought I wooed audience back then," Parker says with a laugh. She made the switch to communications, combining her natural verve for speaking with her desire to help others. A master's in journalism from DePaul University followed. Although Parker's been natural since 2009, in January 2019, she decided to wear her hair in a naturally curly style on air for the first time. "I enjoy the versatility of my hair," she says, echoing the feelings of many Black women. "Why should I look the same every day? No one really blinked at WFAA. But as for the viewers, that was and still is another story." 90% of the feedback, mostly online, has actually been positive. "Some women come up to me in public," Parker says. "Black mothers with daughters, they're my biggest cheerleaders. So why are we even talking about this? Well, because that negative 10% is unfortunately the loudest and boldest," Parker says. Here's a taste of the negativity. "Looks like you stuck your hand in a socket. I like your hair better when it's straight. I would like to date you, but with straight hair. Don't ever wear your hair like that again. It looks terrible." These are not the worst comments an anchor can receive. But let's be clear. What prompts these responses are the deeply entrenched Eurocentric beauty ideals that still pervade mainstream America. No one ever made a peep about Parker's hair before she wore it free and curly on air. If these comments were just in her personal DMs, Parker says, she could ignore them. But some folks post on the networks, social media platforms, and email the station. "I'm just trying to do my job well," she notes. "You know, report the news. So no matter how much hair harassment I received, I shield away from having conversations about it at work in mixed company because I felt that it would be considered trivial." One fateful day, Parker rocked a natural style on camera that prompted over 50,000 responses. 4 neat buns along the center of her head for a mohawk profile effect. Fortunately, her network has been extremely supportive, even as the commenters have made her co-workers and bosses privy to the nonsense. The open criticism propelled her to the forefront of the natural hair issue, and one of her producers, a Black woman, pitched the idea of Parker speaking directly on air to her hair critics. "Representation matters," she reflects now. "We need to create space so that Black people can show up fully as they are." As she continues fielding the overwhelmingly positive and a handful of negative viewer comments, Parker has some advice for other Black women journalists who want to show off freely the strands nature bestowed. "Don't shift your energy to accommodate who is in the room," she says. "Be your authentic self on day one." We have to challenge people to be more open-minded. That's one path to the normalization of our natural hair. The next article is titled, 10 Things We Are Talking About. Here's the news you should know. Number one, Black women are speaking. Overcoming insurmountable odds is nothing new for Black women, including those tapped for leadership roles in the incoming presidential administration. The most diverse in history, we will be rooting for our sisters with pride as they take their hard-earned seats at the country's highest table. Music's biggest night, number two. Red carpet season kicks off on a high note with Grammy Awards on January 31st. Between Mickey Guyton making history as the first Black female solo artist to be nominated in a country music category, and a host of young artists earning nods for the first time, including Blue Ivy for Brown Skin Girl, we are in for a memorable night. Number 3, remember the Titans. January marks 1 year since the tragic helicopter accident that claimed the lives of NBA superstar Kobe Bryant and his teenage daughter Gianna Gigi Bryant. Kobe's wife Vanessa and their 3 living daughters, along with loved ones and fans, continue to keep their memories alive by unveiling moving tributes and celebrating special milestones. Number 4, a lifetime of Black history. This year is the 45th anniversary of Black History Month in America. Although historian Dr. Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week in 1926, the inaugural Black History Month declaration took place in 1976. Number 5, an all-star pause. The cancellation of the 2021 NBA All-Star Weekend in February for the first time since 1999 reminds us of the continued impact of COVID-19 has on big live events. Number 6, HBCU blessings. Serial philanthropist Mackenzie Scott, ex-wife of Amazon Jeff Bezos, ended 2020 by donating millions of dollars to over 15 historically Black colleges and universities. Our nation is sure to benefit from the fruits of her generosity as many HBCU students across the country resume classes this semester. Number 7, Georgia on my mind. The stakes were high for Democrats on January 5th as they worked to turn both of Georgia's Senate seats blue for the first time in 20 years to give the party unified control of the White House and Congress. By the time this issue is out, the Georgia Senate runoff will have its 2 winners. Number 8, vaccination, phase 1. As the COVID-19 vaccine is distributed nationally, Black Americans are still ambivalent. Our trust in the medical establishment was sorely shaken by such episodes as the 1932 Tuskegee syphilis study, which denied life-saving treatment to hundreds of Black men without their knowledge. The question remains, will we now step forward to be vaccinated? Number 9, movie night in continues. Hollywood paused when movie houses closed during the pandemic. Then Warner Media rattled the industry even more by announcing that its big screen projects would stream on HBO Max and in theaters throughout 2021. Number 10, Houston, we have a president. With the exhausting presidential election behind us, the country is officially under new management as of January 20th, courtesy of President Joe Biden. Over 81 million Americans voted for this much-needed Oval Office reset, the most votes cast for any presidential candidate in U.S. history. The next article is titled, The Struggle is Real, Black Mothers, Child Care, and COVID-19. Today, I survived another pandemic workday. As I finish this article at 4:30 a.m. and get into bed, I reflect on how the day started. I tiptoed in to peek at my sleeping 5- and 2-year-old, kiss my husband as he left to work in an essential role off site, then hurried to my home office to get in as much work as possible before our children awakened. 30 minutes into my first virtual meeting, I welcomed my 2 tiny coworkers, business partners, now that we are a package deal, as we can't take the risk of enrolling our children in school or daycare. Of course, this means supervising virtual kindergarten and bathroom needs while I'm on the phone, and soothing occasional toddler meltdowns, but this was, thankfully, one of my less eventful work days. I love being a mother and have the privilege of working remotely as a social justice consultant. However, having no child care and being a full-time work-from-home mom is unsustainable. Although I got through the day, the wear and tear on my health was real, and I deserve more than trying to survive the workday while also trying to survive a deadly virus. The lack of childcare to meet my family's needs feels very isolating. but it is a widespread issue that is creating a pandemic within a pandemic for working mothers. I know that I am not alone. According to a report released by the Century Foundation and the Center for American Progress, 4 times as many women as men dropped out of the labor force in September. Those of us who have no child care while working full-time don't have to ask why. Due to systemic inequalities that have created a lack of generational wealth and unequal pay in our communities, Black women are not likely to opt to drop out of the labor force, as we are more likely to be the sole breadwinners in our families. And Black mothers are twice as likely as white women to be responsible for their family's child care and housework during COVID-19. Systemic barriers created by policymakers, such as racial income gaps, lack of paid leave, and lack of affordable child care, exacerbate the situation for working Black mothers, with daycare costs averaging more than $9,000 a year and only 52% of Black women saying that they have enough income to support their basic needs during COVID-19 compared to 78% of white women. Many of us can't afford childcare. Lower income parents report that they will no longer be able to manage the cost of pre-pandemic childcare arrangements compared to middle and high income parents. This will likely force many families to leave their children in unreliable childcare settings. The result? Many Black women are experiencing extraordinary levels of stress as they shoulder the weight of these challenging times without adequate child care. This could worsen already by maternal health outcomes for Black women of childbearing age, mothers who, even in the midst of a pandemic that disproportionately threatens our lives and those of our loved ones, still have to play the role of superwoman. Frankie Robertson, the author, is the founder and president of the Amadla Group, a social justice consulting firm addressing the social and political determinants of health through policy, research, and advocacy. She serves as a technical assistant consultant for National Birth Equity Collaborative. Have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.